premise of the matzah on their Pesach.
So there are different opinions about the prohibition against eating matzah on Erev Pesach only applies on Yud Daled in the daytime, let's say this year, Shabbos in the daytime. What about Friday night? Is it permissible to eat matzah on Friday night? So the Pashta says that you're not mechuyev to be machmer on this. There are those who are machmer, but Rab Soloveitchik used to say the name of his grandfather, Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, that he used to say jokingly, has a raif in the Haggadah that it's permissible to eat matzah on Leil Yud Daled, because we say Shabbat Alaylus Anu Achlim Chametz Umatzah Alayla Zat Kula Matzah. Shabbat Alaylus includes last night Leil Bedikas Chametz. We were allowed to eat chametz and matzah. So the Pashtus is, it's not an Issa Deraisa. It's a Chumrah. It's a Chumrah that the Yerushalmi had. The Bavli doesn't even have it. The Yerushalmi has it. So to be machmer not to eat matzah. A lot of people don't want to eat. If you have little children running around, you're going to have crumbs from chametz. You're going to have a big problem. And you should get married, have a lot of little children running around. So if you have little children, so a lot of people do not want to have chametz in the house. So Friday night, strictly speaking, you can use lecha mishnah, you can use two matzahs. Shabbos in the morning, what are you going to use? So Tosfos on Lamed Hem and Beis, some Sochem quotes the Rabbi Natan, that when Yerushalmi prohibits eating matzah on Erev Pesach, Kedesh Yerucha Matzah L'Tioven, so that when he eats the matzah, Leil HaSeder, he should eat it with the Gishmak, because he didn't have it a whole day. So the Rabbi Natan says that only goes on matzah that is shaykh to the Yotzi Yidecha V'Samitzah. But if you have matzah Ashir, if you have egg matzah, that's not included. So the Pashtus in the Shulchan Aruch is also, you know, Mechir to go have chumras over here. We have, the Ramah has a chumrah. He's quoting Abnazim have a chumrah. The Sfarim don't have this chumrah. Rashi Shita seems to be. This is understood that Rashi Shita is that if you mix Pesach Dika flour with May Peris, that's Memahya Lahachmetz, that may become Chametz Nuksha faster than regular flour mixed with water. So the many Ashkenazim turned out that developed that you don't eat egg matzah the whole Pesach. It's a very big chumrah to be choshesh Rashi. We don't pass like Rashi. There are a lot of things that they're always, every region has some funny sheet. So we're not machmer for every sheet under the sun. It won't be every day. We're going to be machmer for everything. So somehow they have this Ashkenazim have a chumrah that you don't eat egg matzah the whole Pesach. But the haray, then it's only a chumrah that the Ramah says for cholim eskenim who find it hard to chew matzah. So you are permitted to eat egg matzah. So this chumrah, not to eat egg matzah, the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch is the way the Chok Yankov writes and the Aruch HaShulchan writes that the chumrah only applies on Pesach. The chumrah doesn't apply on Erev Pesach. Let's say kidneys. Ashkenazim don't eat kidneys. So the Pashto says the Chumrah of Kitnis only applies on Pesach. It doesn't apply on an Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, you don't have the big Chumras of Kores. The Gemara has a Chumrah on Pesach. The Gemara has a Chumrah Daf Lamed. The Chametz is the Mashu. So that's a big Machlokes HaRishonim. Whether the Chumrah of Mashu, Medina the Gemara, whether that Chumrah applies on Erev Pesach. The Rambam thinks that it applies even on Erev Pesach. We have not accepted the Rambam Shita. You don't pass like the Rambam. The Chumrah of Mashu was only on Pesach. So the Pashto says that the Chumrah of Kidneys and the Chumrah not to eat the Matzah Shira, not to eat egg matzah, only applies on Pesach, doesn't apply on our Pesach. So that's why many will use, you can use regular two matzahs for Leil Shabbos, because we assume that the Chumrah, not to, the Yerushalmi, not to eat matzah on our Pesach, doesn't apply Leil. You dial it only by Yom, and then by Yom, in the morning, you can have egg matzah. The egg matzah usually is very minimal. It's very, very soft. It doesn't taste like bread at all. It doesn't taste like matzah at all. The din is if you kareh suda on it, then it becomes hamoitzi. So the Ashkenazi poskim say, Moshe Feinstein quotes the Mishnah Berurah, who quotes the Magen Avraham, and that's usually assumed the din, like the Magen Avraham said, that if you eat cake in the middle of a meal, in the middle of a filling meal, and the cake is also eaten to fill you up. Not that you ate a whole meal. Let's say some people go to a wedding and they don't want to wash because they don't want to stay to the benching. And if people, if three people ate bread together, so you're not allowed to leave before you bench mezumen. So a lot of people will go to a wedding, they won't wash. So Moshe Feinstein says, but if in between one course and the other they're hungry, and they're going to start nibbling on some of the cookies on the table, so then that's called a kriya suda. If you eat mezainis, if you eat the cake or cookies in the middle of a meal to fill you up, and you eat a whole filling meal, so that's what the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah say, that that's called a kriya suda. So that's the pashtus over here also. If you have egg matzah Shabbos morning for the suda in the morning, then you have egg matzah in the afternoon. If you eat a little bit of egg matzah because you're hungry, and then you eat a whole filling meal with it, so that's called a kriya suda. You don't have to dafke eat the four kibbutzim of the egg matzah. The Chacham Avadya doesn't follow that opinion. He thinks you have to eat four kibbutzim. But not even a lot of people who follow Chacham Avadya don't always follow this one. This one is a big chumra. Yeah, a lot of people will want dafke to eat the challah, want the dafke to eat chametz dikke challah on Erev Pesach in the morning. I don't know what the baile is to eat dafke matzah. They know when they're so concerned about the din not eating egg matzah on Erev Pesach. It's a little bit humorous. And you saw Machmer on this, so they're going to daven early, early in the morning, then they're going to have a very early meal. Okay? Zunta hei. But the pashtus is, I don't think you're mechuyev to be Machmer like that. This year, because Yontav is Hamatzoi Shabbos, so we say Yak Nahaz, Yain Kiddush Ner Havdola Zman, and usually on a normal Shabbos, normal Yontav, you're permitted to be Mekabel Shabbos early and make Kiddush. The Gemara says, if one is Mekabel Shabbos after Plag HaMincha, then you can recite Kiddush Mevol Yom. Here, Taisus, the first Taisus on the first daf in Perek Arbi Pesachim writes that on El Pesach, you can't begin to say until the day Sabbachal. So that's the only opinion that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. There are Rishonim who disagree. If you look in Brochus on Daf Chavav, Chav Zayin, the Tosfei HaRosh disagrees. He feels that you can even eat the Korban Pesach when the sun is still shining. And there are Pesach. You Mekabel Yom Tov early. And you make Kiddush, and you can start the whole Seder Mevol Yom. So we don't really follow the Tosfei HaRosh. Healthy people don't follow the Tosfei HaRosh. In Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is like the Tosfos. When you'll be old and falling to pieces, and you'll be in an old age home, and the people simply fall asleep half an hour after sunset, and you won't have any other choice. So then we rely on this minority opinion, the Tosfei HaRosh, that you can begin the Seder Mevol Yom like any other Shabbos Yom. Someone called up on the phone, kept on hacking and hacking. He wants to, he always goes to sleep right after the sun sets, and he wants to do the same on Pesach nights. I said, one, two nights a year, you can't be mois and nefesh for the din to eat later. I thought it was utterly ridiculous. Anyway, that's the common practice. Everybody waits to say, you don't have to wait till doomsday. You don't have to take the most chumadik shita that says, oh, you take a normal shita. And you begin the Seder with the Kiddush after it says, Adkol Chavit. Yayin Mavushal, Nani Yamachmer, there is an opinion in Hilchas Shabbos. We usually don't follow that opinion, but the Rambam quotes from the Gaonim that you cannot use Yayin Mavushal for Kiddush on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So that's only for the first cup of wine on Pesach night. Those who want to be Machmer, that's only for the first cup, is for Kiddush. For the next three cups of Abrikosis, Yayin Mavushal is perfectly okay. That doesn't pose a problem. And even the first cup of wine, Rav Soloveitchik had a suffix, does it only apply, let's say, the father of the household is going to recite Kiddush, holding up his cup, and everybody else is not going to say Kiddush. They'll be with the father's Kiddush. So maybe only the father of the household has to have Yayin Shein and Mevushal. Everybody else is drinking the first cup of Teres Abakosis, not the Teres Kiddush. And maybe the others can use Yayin Mevushal, even if the family is Machmer, not to use Yayin Mevushal for Kiddush. Rav Soloveitchik thought maybe that's kedai to be Machmer. Those who are Machmer, not to use Yayin Mevushal for Kiddush, maybe everybody's cup, the first cup, is considered the Yayin Shal Kiddush, Kosh Shal Kiddush, and everyone should be Machmer not to have Yayin Mevushal, if you have such a chumrah all year long. Most of the wines, Rav Moshe Feinstein says that on the Kerem bottles, it says some of them are Mevushal, some of them are not Mevushal. He says that's not correct. All of the Kerem wines are pasteurized, and pasteurization is real bishul, and it's way past Yad Soler, so he says that's not correct. The one, the Chassidish Rebbe, who gives the Hechsher on Kerem wine, follows a different opinion. Rav Moshe thinks it's incorrect. Follows an opinion that it's only called Mevushal if you heat it till 212, till it starts to evaporate. Rav Moshe thinks that that's not correct. He says, look in the Or Zeruah. Or Zeruah is from the end of the period of the Baalei HaTosfos. Or Zeruah was a Talmud of Rav Yehuda Silion, and his Talmud of Rav And the Ozeru was the Maharam Rutenberg, and he had the Russian, the Mordechai, and the Havos Maimon, the Yisthalbinim. The end of the Tkufas Baalei HaTosfos, and the Ozeru writes a Sofek, how hot do you have to cook the wine that it should be considered Mevushal? Is it enough? Have Shera Zehu Bishulo? What if you heated it till it became lukewarm? Is that sufficient, or you need more than that? So he says he thinks he should be Machmer, that Benegeet Maga Akum. That if a Nochri handles the wine, he makes a treif, unless it's Yayim Mevushal. So the Ezra thinks there you should be Machmer that you need Dafke Yatzalez. But to say that it's not called Mevushal till you heat it till 212 till it starts to evaporate and Hecha takes it, there's no source for that. Rav Moshe is of the opinion, he has in his Sefer, and it's true, Rav Moshe is of the opinion that all the wines that are pasteurized are all Yayim Mevushal. So you don't gain anything by having a bottle of wine that says it's Yayim Mevushal. If it's can of wine, it's all Mevushal. When Yom Tov falls out on Erev Shabbos, you have to make an Erev Tavshilim. This year, Shabbos is on Erev Yom Tov, it's the opposite. So you don't need an Erev Tavshilim. So Rachik used to tell over the story that one of the rabbis, not a Musmach of his, one of the rabbis made a mistake in Shul, and he announced, he told all the Balabatim, it was Yom Tov is going to follow Shabbos. He told all the Balabatim, don't forget to make an Erev Tavshilim. So the Shabbos in the Shul was a European who knew kids who Shulchan Aruch. So they didn't want to humiliate the rabbi in public. So after the davening was over, that was a Shabbos before. Shabbos before Yom Tov, the rabbi told the Balabatim, and the Shabbos Avodah Drosha, the week before, don't forget to make an Erev Tavshilim next week. So after nobody was in Shul, so the Shabbos told the rabbi, you only make an Erev Tavshilim when Yom Tov is on Erev Shabbos. When Shabbos is on Erev Yom Tov, what are you going to make an Erev Tavshilim? You can't cook on Shabbos for Yom Tov. So the rabbi realized that he made a mistake. So in order to cover up, so the rabbi said, the Goyen Shita. Everybody knows the Vilna Goyen has different opinions on everything. So he made the Goyen Shita is like that. There is no such Goyen Shita. Make sure you don't make an Erev Tavshilim. There is no such thing. There is no such thing. For Karpas, we wash the Tillis Adayim without a bracha. Kadesh Urchatz Karpas. You wash the Tillis Adayim. What are you washing the Tillis Adayim for? It's a Dovish Tevula B'mashkin. Why do you wash without a bracha? Because it's a Machloikas Tosfos in the Rambam, whether that din that's explained in the last paragraph in Arba Pesach, whether that din still applies B'zman HaZeh. The Tosfos' opinion is the whole thing doesn't apply B'zman HaZeh. Everybody's tummy, everything is tummy anyway. So what do you gain by washing the Tillis Adayim or the Dovish Tevula B'mashkin? The Rambam says not so. The Rambam holds you have to wash with a bracha. So the Vilna Gaon Taki used to wash with a bracha. He used to wash the Tillis Adayim with a bracha all year long when he washed with Dovish Tevula B'mashkin. The Taz has a famous comment, Manishtana Halayla Zemikol Halayla. So all year long, people will eat grapes that were washed off, an apple that was washed off and still has droplets of water on it. It's really Dovish Tevula B'mashkin. And many people will eat it without washing the Tillis Adayim. So why do they wash on Pesach night? So the Taz says, Mikan Tochachas Megulah, from the fact that on Pesach night everybody washes for Karpas, Dovish Tevula B'mashkin shows that that's the Iker. Then you should do all year long like that. We don't say a bracha because it's a Sufik bracha. According to Tosfos, there's no takana. Takana doesn't apply to Zman HaZeh. But since the Rambam says it does apply, so Shulchan Aruch says you have to wash without a bracha. So the Netziv in his commentary on Haggadah points out that it could be that only the father, many have the minig only by a lot of yekis and other community have the minig, only the father of the household washes. When they wash before matzah, everybody washes. And when you wash before Dovish Tevula B'mashkin, only the Omer HaHagadah washes just to make a zecha l'migdosh. In the days of the Beis HaMigdosh, they were really careful about the Tumah V'Tahara. They didn't want to have Yadayim Tmeyos because then they'll pass on the Korban Pesach. So that's a minig, only the father of the household washes. So if you say like that, then the Taz is Kasha, Zeshkin Kasha. All year long, you don't have to wash. On your Pesach night, the one is going to say, the Haggadah should wash to make a zecha l'migdosh. Most have the practice that everybody washes. So more correct is that all year long also you should do like that. Everyone If you have an apple that you just washed off, either you should dry the apple off before you eat it, so it's no longer davish tevula b'mashke, or you wash without a bracha before you eat the apple, if it's still going to be with droplets of water on it. How much karpis do you eat? So in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Maharam Rutenberg, that he thinks in the Rambam it says you have to eat a kazayas of karpis. And in the Hagos Mamini on the bottom of the page, was written by a Talmud of the Maharam Rutenberg, he thinks that that's a mistake. He thinks that that's a Torah Sefer in the Rambam. He says it doesn't make sense that you have to eat a kazayas, and he thinks it's better not to eat a kazayas. Because Tosfos says when you say Bari Pi Hadam on the karpis, you should have in mind that this bracha should cover the morer that you're going to eat later in the meal. And then the other Balei HaTosfos say, how can the bracha on karpis cover the morer? It's a long Hesach Hadas. It takes forever. It takes an hour from the time you say karpis Bari Pi Hadam until you're going to get to the morer. It's a Hesach Hadas. So the other Rishon holds, it's not a Hesach Hadas. So because of that machlokes, so we go to Chumrah, in both directions. So when you eat the karpas, you say Bar Adam, you have a mind, this should cover the morer as well. But because there's a possibility that it won't cover the morer, because it has hadas, and if it doesn't cover the morer, then you should really say Bar Nefashis after you finish eating the karpas, because the bracha is not going to be late to the morer later. So in order to avoid the suffix on the Bar Nefashis, So you shouldn't eat a kazayas. That's bedavka, you shouldn't eat a kazayas. The Rambam says you should eat a kazayas. So that's what the Maharam Rutenberg recommended. You shouldn't eat, you should be machmir for both opinions. The world doesn't come to an end. Bari nefashis after eating vegetables, the Gemara says, was a minig. It's not even a din derabon, it's a minig. So nishgevelach, if you have a suffix on bari nefashis, you don't say the bari nefashis. But that was set up by the Maharam Rutenberg. Maharam Rutenberg belonged to Mishkanes Yankov, has a tshuva where he writes this in a footnote. He says that there was a new theme was introduced into Psak Halacha by the Hasidi Ashkenaz in the days of the Maharam Rutenberg, the end of the Tkufas Balei HaTosfos, that they try to be choshish for all the different opinions. But that's what we do on Pesach night. That's what you wash for Dovishu to Mashke. You don't say a bracha. We're choshish for the Rambam, we're choshish for Tosfos. So you wash because the Rambam says you have to, and you don't say a bracha because Tosfos holds that no such thing. So you also, and you should eat. You should have in mind that the Bar Pradam and the Karpa should cover the morer, but maybe it doesn't cover the morer, and then you should say Bar Nefashis and make sure you don't eat a kazayas. So you're choshish in both directions. Some people have the practice that when they eat karpas, they eat anything that qualifies for Bari Pi Hadama. So some people will use potatoes, and other people, there was one prominent rabbi in America, he used to use a banana because he used to invite balabatim over to his house, and bananas grow on trees, so everybody would think a real tree can climb up on a tree, it's not going to fall down. So everyone would think that bananas are bar pri ha'et. So the rabbi wanted to emphasize bananas are bar pri ha'adam. A banana tree, the whole tree collapses at the end of the year, the roots remain under the ground, and next year a whole new tree grows up. So that's a machlokes in the Torah, whether that's Bari Pi Hu'etz or Bari Pi Hadama. The Gemara says, you say Bari Pi Hu'etz on berries that grow on a bush, like fruits that grow on a tree, because year after year, it's going to grow on the same branches. But here, the whole thing falls down, collapses. None of the branches remain. So that's a machlokes, two opinions in the Torah, whether that's also Hu'etz or Hadama. So because of the suffix, we say Hadama on the banana. So the rabbi wanted to teach the Balabatim this limon, that bananas are Bari Pi Hadama, even though they grow on a regular tree, almost a regular tree. So he used to use bananas. But that's in Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham writes that you should use some green vegetable. You shouldn't use bananas and you shouldn't use potatoes. If someone wants it, they say, hey, what can you do? It's not worth making a fight about it. Rav Soloveitchik every year would always point out when he gave the shiur for the Balabatim. He used to give the shiur every Tuesday night for the Balabatim in New York. In Boston, they gave Moshe Yom for Balabat. They would always point out that a lot of people, when it comes to Heseda, they're supposed to lean. They lean like this. They're not leaning on anything. They're just leaning in midair. So he said, that's not right. You're supposed to lean on the table or turn the chair around and lean on the back of the chair. Lean like this. But just to tilt to the left side, that's not called Heseda. You have to lean on something. Chareises, we use charoises to dip the morer into the charoises. Then the Gemara says you're supposed to shake off the charoises. Some people pile on a lot of charoises on the morer and they eat it together. So the Gemara said that's not right. You dip it in the harosis and you shake it off. If you look in the Rishonim and the Mordechai, you look in the Ramon, Shulchan Aruch, there seems to have been an opinion in the days of the late Rishonim, early Achronim, that we pass like the Tanur, Rab Lozab, Rab Tzorik, that Charoisis is a mitzvah. The Rambam and the Mishnah Torah passes like that. Charoisis is a mitzvah. And the mitzvah is not only to dip the mor into Charoisis, to eat a kazayis of Charoisis. So the Rambam writes, he never heard of this. There is no such thing. But there seem to be some Rishonim who say like that. So Charoisis takes good. Why not have a kazayis of Charoisis? You're eating in the middle of the meal anyway. The Gemara says if charoisis is a mitzvah like the Tana of Lezer Rav Tzodik and the Mishnah and the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah, Paskins like that, that's one of the issues that the Rambam changed his mind between the time that he wrote the Pirush HaMishnayis and the time that he wrote the Mishnah Torah. The Pirush HaMishnayis, he writes, we don't Paskin like a Rav Lezer Rav Tzodik. But he says if he would have Paskin like Rav Lezer Rav Tzodik, there would have been a brocha. It sounds like he understood that the Konkur is not just a mitzvah to dip the mor in the charoisis, a mitzvah to eat a kazayis of charoisis. That's what it sounds like when the Pirush HaMishnayis. But in the Mishnah Torah, he wrote the Mishnah Torah later. But in the Mishnah Torah, he changed his mind and he says, charoisis is a mitzvah and you don't say a bracha on it. So if charoisis is a mitzvah with the rabbanim, it's not a mitzvah. I tell you, what's the nature of the mitzvah? So it's a zeichet to something. So there are three different opinions. On the Gemara and the Bavli, there are two opinions. One opinion is zeichet le tapuach tachas tapuach haraticha, and a tapuach in biblical Hebrew doesn't mean an apple tree; it means a citrus tree. Tachas tapuach haraticha. That's when the wives would make love with their husbands. The husband was so exhausted from the Shebut Mitzrayim, they didn't want to be with their wives. And the Klal Yisrael would have disappeared. There wouldn't have been any babies. So the women would make love to the husband under the tapuach trees, and then they convinced the husband to be together with them, and they had children in the middle of the Shebut Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says, one opinion, zecha le tapuach, it means a citrus fruit. So the Gemara says, tzorch le kuhuya, you have to have some spunky flavor, some acidic flavor in the charoisis, squeeze an orange in or something like that, squeeze a grapefruit in, that it should be reminiscent of tachas atapuach haraticha. The other opinion of the Gemara is charoisis is a mitzvah, zecha letint, that the Jewish people use the cement in order to make all of those buildings, piece of Ramses. So tzorch l'smuche, it should be thick like cement. And then the third opinion, Tosfos quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi, is that charoisis is a mitzvah midrabbanan, zecha ledam, all of the Jewish blood that was spilled by the Egyptians. So in order to fulfill all the three, you have one of the major ingredients should be, one put in apples, nishgefela, but that's not what it means, tapuach. Tapuach means the citrus fruit. So you have to have one of the ingredients should be citrus fruit. And then it should be thick in the beginning, and then you should pour red wine in. It says in Shulchan Aruch, unless you live in a community where there may be Alina Saddam, it was very common in the Middle Ages, in the early 1900s, you would think it was also the Middle Ages. There was a famous Bilas case in St. Petersburg. They accused a Jew of killing a Christian baby. Then after years, the one who killed the baby, the guy who killed the baby, finally admitted that the whole thing was baloney. And this guy Bilas moved to America later on. But in the Middle Ages, that was very common. That would be Alila Saddam. So if there's a concern of Alila Saddam, so you don't pour in red wine. But New York and in our part of America, so far, we're safe. So you pour in red wine, so you have all the three. Zecha letit, it's thick in the beginning. Then you pour in the red wine, the zecha ledam. And one of the ingredients is the tapuach, tachas atapuach haraticha. Tosfos on that Gemara quotes from the Gaonim that we put in almonds and we put in a whole bunch of other fruits. You probably get it in the mail from the Tel Aviv Yeshiva in Cleveland, whatever. It's a whole concoction of different things. So that's based on that Tosfos. Shulchan Aruch quotes all of that. That you should have all these funny ingredients in the charoisis. And a lot of the Haggadahs that you may have gotten in the mail that were where they reprinted the Chassidish Rebbe's Mamorim, on Haggadah, so they have the Shein Yichud Kodesh Brichu by every mitzvah, by the matzah, by the maror. So they have, let's say, okay, so if you want to say the Shein Yichud before you start the Kiddush, that's okay. But let's say by the second cup of wine, you say Asher Gialonu, then you say Baruch Yagov, and after you say Asher Gialonu. So a lot of the Haggadahs, they have the Shein Yichud in between the bracha Goal Yisrael and the Baruch Yagov. That's not right. That's a hafsik in the middle. It's a bracha lakos. It shouldn't be mafsik. Everybody knows you're not mafsik. If you say Baruch Yagov first, then you say Kiddush. Of course, you're not allowed to be mafsik in the middle. You're not allowed to. You won't be mafsik after the Kiddush is over before you drink the wine. Everybody knows that. So there they put the Shein Yichud before the Kiddush. So if you want to say the Shein Yichud before the bracha, you should say before you begin the bracha, not in between the bracha and the Baruch Yagov. And the same thing, the Birchas Hamazon. You finish the Birchas Hamazon, and then they have printed the Shein Yichud Kodesh Brichu before Baruch Yagov. That's a hafsik. It's even a machlokes. The Tur has a machlokes with his brother, whether you're allowed to say Harachmans. Whenever you bench ala kos, not only on Pesach night, whenever you say Birchas Hamazon ala kos, so you're not allowed to be mafsik in between the Birchas Hamazon and the Baruch Yagov. It's all a bracha ala kos. So the brother of the tour thought that it's not proper to say any of the harachmans. All the harachmans are just a minig. That's not wasn't composed by the chachamim as an integral part of the. Of the Birchas Hamazon, there's one harachman that's Medina de Gemara, the bracha for the balabai, so if you're eating by someone else. So that's a real din. We usually have that. It's not the first five or six harachmans. It's after that. Achman rachas balabai and sazer. It's later. So they say that Rabbeinu Soloveitchik used to say that he felt this was the most important innovation that he introduced. I don't know why he thought that. The most important innovation he introduced was that he insisted you should say the bracha for the balabais right after the Li'olam Al Yichasreinu. Because the end of the benching is Li'olam Al Yichasreinu, everybody should say Amen, and then he said the bracha for the balabais, that's Medina the Gemara. Then he said Harachmans, the rest of the Harachmans is a minig. So he felt you shouldn't be mafsik with the Harachmans that are a minig in between the benching and the Birchas balabais. Birchas balabais. Some Rishonim seem to hold that it's a din d'oraisa, and they say v'achalta v'sorot v'irachta es Hashem alkech es l'rabbis balabais. The Gemara usually says es is l'rabba something. So some Rishonim say es l'rabbis balabais. A real din d'oraisa. We split up the halal. Part of the halal we say before the meal. The rest of the halal we say after the meal. The balamor in the end of Sohim writes that he feels that the more important part of the halal is the latter part of the halal, based on the Gemara in the end of Tainis. The Gemara says that the Bezdin was going to Tainis because it wasn't raining, and then it rains in the, everybody's fasting, and then it rains in the middle of the day. Are you obligated to continue the fast to the end of the day or not? So the Mishnah says it depends. If it rained before Chatzos, then you can go home and eat. If you were fasting and it didn't rain till after Chatzos, then you have to finish it, even though it rained. And the problem was solved, since you already started the fast, till after Chatzos, you have to finish the fast. So the Mishnah says, if it rains before Chatzos, everybody goes home and eats, and then they gather together in the shul and they say halal. So the Gemara asks, why don't they say halal before they go home? It rained at 11 o'clock in the morning, so they wait another 10 minutes. How long is it going to take this? It's not Shlomo Kalbach, it's not going to take 2 hours to say halal. That'll take 10 minutes for the whole halal. So the Gemara says, no, Einamim halal al keres maleya, the nefesh seveya. Halal b'shasa Yeshua, you have to recite when you have a full belly and then you're in a good mood. So that's what the Balamor says, that on Pesach night we have the attitude, chai barim liris hatzim kilo yotzim in Mitzrayim. You have to have the feelings that we just left Mitzrayim tonight. That's halal b'shasa Yeshua. You have to first eat the meal and then you say the halal. We say two chapters of the halal before the meal to be kaveh the suda as the suda's hoidoya. But the ikar of the halal is really the part of the halal that's after the meal. So the Rishonim have an expression, Einamim Shira, the Gemara has an expression, Adin, Einamim Shira Ela Al Hayayin. That means in the Beis Hamikdash, the Levim play music and they sing the Shir Shal Yom. Every day there's a different Shir Shal Yom, and Shabbos and Yom Tov, there's also a different Shir Musaf, and there's a different Shir Shal Yom. So So the Gemara says the Levim only sing and play the music in Yom Shir El Alayan, when the Kohanim are pouring the wine down the pipes and the Mizbeach down the Shisim. So then the Levim should sing Shir. That's what it means in the Gemara. And then in the Rishonim, they have this Lashon HaTshuvah Rashba quoted by the Beis Yosef, and others say that you should hold, let's say, by a bris, you say the bracha shekidish did me beten, so you should say bari pi agafen and hold a cup of wine, because einamim shira el alayayin. When you say bichas amazon alakos, that's shira alayayin. So here also, hallel, proper practice should be, not only you pick up the cup of wine when you're about to say the bracha sher gelon, you should hold a cup of wine when you start saying the hallel, the two chapters before the bichas amazon, that should be shira alayayin. Then after the benching, after you finish drinking the third cup of wine in the case of Birchas Hamazon, then you're going to say the remaining part of Hallel, very long, a few pages long. Then you say the 26 Psukim Kili Olam Chazad, then you say the Shmas Kol Chai. So more correct is you should hold a cup of wine that whole time when you say all those pages of Hallel. It's a little long, but more correct is you should say Shira Alayayin, Einamim Shira Alayayin, you should hold a cup of wine. Not miyakev, even if you say kiddush and you didn't pick up the cup of wine, but you have a yoytzi lechatchil, you're supposed to pick up the cup of kiddush. Tzoch la'avi ha'tefach me'al ha'shulchan. If you didn't pick up a tefach, you're also yoytzi b'di'evet. When you eat the matzah on Pesach night, so the Rosh is of the opinion, the Rosh learns the Gemara Kipshuto, that you're only yoytzi if the matzah belongs to you. If the matzah doesn't belong to you, you're not yoytzi. The Rambam says if you eat matzah gzula, you're not yoytzi because mitzvah bo ba'aveirah. That's a side reason, but the Rosh writes, you don't have to come out to mitzvah bo ba'aveirah. Simple reading of the Gemara, it sounds like you need shalachem. So the Taz raises the issue, so let's say I'm going to eat by my children this coming Pesach, I'm going to visit by my children. So my son is buying the matzahs. The matzahs belong to him. And when I used to have the Seder in my home, so I used to always make an announcement, everyone should have a mind to be kind of the matzahs as they're about to, when you pick them up, have a mind to be kind and should be shalachem. So the Taz raises the possibility, maybe it's self-understood. Maybe whenever you have guests eating at your home, it's self-understood that you're giving them the chicken and the kugel and everything and the cholent as a kinyan, as a matonah. And others are not so convinced that it's self-understood. So it doesn't hurt if you make an announcement. You tell everybody they should have in mind that they should be kind of the matzah. In all the Haggadahs it says, based on the Gemara, that you eat matzah, then you eat more, and say, Broch al-achilos matzah, hamotzi al-achilos matzah, then you eat more, and then you eat kairach. So in all the Haggadahs it says, that you recite Zechel Mikdash Kehilu Keinasil Bezman Shabbos Mikdash Arikayim, etc. So the Mishnah Brura raised an issue in the Bir Halacha, shouldn't that constitute a hepsik when you're saying Zechel Mikdash Kehilu? Because it says in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to talk from the time that you say Halachilas Matzah till after you eat the Korach. Because we eat the Korach because maybe that's the more correct way to fulfill the mitzvah of Matzah and Morah together, Bikricha. Matzah Sermi Achlu, Bikricha Achas. So if you're not allowed to be mapsik, so why are you saying Zechel Mikdash Kehilu? Maybe that's not proper. So because of that Bir Halacha, so many have the practice that they say Zechel Mikdash Kehilu after they ate the Korach. Instead of saying it before, you say it after. The Pashtus is that the whole Mishnah Berurah's Chumrah is really a Shver Chumrah, but Mishnah Berurah raised such a possibility. Maybe it's an issue of hepsik. In between the bracha of halachilas matzah and the eating of the korach, so the world doesn't come to an end. So you can say zechel mikdash kehilu after you eat the korach. Someone sent me an email. I don't know where in the world the person. I get emails. I don't know where they're from. Somebody lives somewhere where they're not going to have any chicken, any flesh at all. They will not because of corona. I don't know whether they live in a desert island somewhere. So they're not going to have any meat delivered to them. So the dinners on Yom Tov, you're supposed to have basar v'yayin. That somehow the person wasn't worried about. He's worried, what's going to be with this roa? You have to have shnei tachshilin. And one of them is supposed to be a hard-boiled egg, okay? One of them is supposed to be a zroa. What's he going to do for this roa? So I sent him back. The Gemara has a machlokes. One opinion is that we pask in la'alocha that the shnei tavshilin is echad zechel ha'pesach ve'echad zechel ha'chagiga is introduced, this idea of shnei tavshilin is introduced after the churban bayisheni. בזמן הבא יש ידין נעיד שני תפשן די אית, די קורבן די אית, די חגיגס הבוס די אית, די קורבן פסח. After the Chumash Rabbis introduced it, so one opinion in the Gemara was Rabbi Yosef. In Perek Arvei Pesachim was the opinion. They have to both be Basar because it's Zecha LePesach and Zecha LeChagiga. It was flesh. And we paskin it Zecha LePesach, Zecha LeChagiga, but neither of them has to be flesh. The Gemara says you can have cooked vegetables also. But you should have flesh on Yontif. That's a mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. On Shabbos there is no mitzvah of Simcha. On Shabbos there's a din of Oinik. So Einig says is determined subjectively, whatever you enjoy. So if you enjoy milchiks, more so than fleshiks, so you can be right. So Einig Shabbos by having milchiks. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch it says if a person enjoys fasting more than he enjoys eating, I haven't met those people yet, but the Shulchan Aruch writes that there are such people who enjoy fasting better than they enjoy eating, so they should fast on Shabbos. That's their Einig. People enjoy eating, so they should eat three suddas Shabbos suddas. But on Yontif, in addition to the mitzvah of Oinig Yontif, there's also a din of Simcha. So that's what the Ramah, in his commentary on the bottom of the page of the Torah, raises a possibility that maybe Simcha has an objective standard. Maybe it's not determined subjectively. Oinig is determined subjectively, whatever you enjoy. And it could be that on Yontif you have to have flesh, even if you choke on it, even if you don't enjoy it at all. So on the assumption that you have to, that because it's a mitzvah of simcha and you need basa v'yayin, even if you don't enjoy it, so there's a further machlokes, if you learn Yerideya, and the first page in Yerideya they have in tiny letters on the bottom of the page, there's machlokes, the Yad Ephraim and the Yad Avraham. Two different commentaries on page Aleph in Yerideya. Are you yotze with chicken? Maybe you're on the yotze with besar behem. Maybe ain't simcha ala v'basa, the dafke besar behem. So that's a question. This din and simcha, the Gemara said, "Bisman shabes amigdusha yekayim ain simcha lebebsar shlomim." Bisman hazeh that there's no shlomim, so ain simcha lebeyayin. So that's a machlokes the Mishnah Berurah quotes on at the very end of Chelek Hay in the Mishnah Berurah, the last siman. Shulchan Aruch talks about simchas yontif. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes there's a machlokes achrayim. What does that mean? Bisman shein beis hamigdush kayim. It's not enough to have basar because it's besar chulin, so in addition to the besar chulin, you have to have yayin also. Or bisman shein beis hamigdush kayim, the flesh is irrelevant. You don't need any flesh at all. All you need is yayin. So that's a machlokes. He thinks that me'ikar adin, yayin is enough. You don't even need flesh. But a lot of people don't have yayin. So on Pesach night, of course, you're going to have yayin, arbekosis. But let's say on the last 2 days of Pesach. So the father of the household says kiddush over yayin, but not everybody drinks yayin. So more correct is everybody should have basa v'yayin. And every day of Yontif, on Chalamayit Sukkis, the Mishnah says asimcha kol shmeina. Every day of Sukkis, and Eretz Yisrael Sukkis is 8 days. Shmini Atzeres and Chutz Laaretz Sukkis is 9 days. You have 2 days Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah. So the simple reading of the Mishnah is that each day of Sukkis, everybody has to have basa v'yayin every day. Pesach it doesn't say. Pesach is different. Sukkis every day is a separate kedusha sayon. That's why you say halal sholem every day of Sukkis. But Pesach is one long kedusha sayon that goes for 7-8 days. And that's all 7 days and chutz la'aretz 8 days. It could be that you don't need basar v'yayin every day of Pesach. But the last 2 days of Pesach, correct practice should be everyone should have a little basar v'yayin. When you recite Birchas HaMazon, so if you bench mezuman, so someone's going to pick up the cup. That's the common practice. Someone of the mezamin is going to pick up the cup. But if you're not going to bench mezuman, so then the correct practice should be, the Gemara says that the Chachamim instituted the Seder within the framework of four brachas ala kos. You say Kiddush ala yayin, you say Asher Geolono ala yayin, Birchas HaMazon ala yayin, and Bichas Hashir, that's the bracha at the end of the halal, the end of the second half of halal. After the meal is Bichas Hashir. So whenever you have a bracha ala kos, you're supposed to hold the kos of wine. So you're supposed to hold a cup of wine for sure when you say Kiddush, lachatchil tzoch lambea tefach. Then you should hold the cup of wine when you say Asher Geolono. You should really hold the cup of wine before Asher Geolono when you say the first two chapters of the halal. That's Shir ala yayin. But when you say the bracha Hashem Yalana, for sure you should hold the cup of wine that says in the Haggadah, because that's a bracha lakos, then Birchas HaMazon you should really pick up. Everyone should hold the cup of wine, hold the cup till the Olamai Chasrenu, till you finish the Birchas HaMazon. And then the last bracha, not only when you recite the Birchas Hashir will soon explain what it is, but according to the Rishayim, you should say Shir al Hayayin. The last chapters of Halal should also, you should hold the cup of wine the whole time. What exactly is Birchas Hashir? That's the fourth cup of wine, is the Birchas Hashir, the bracha that one recites at the conclusion of the Halal on Pesach night. So the Gemara has a dispute, the Machlokes HaMaharim. One opinion is that it's Yehalalucha. So Tosfos asks, we always say Yehalalucha at the end of the Halal. So what's the Manishtan alayim on that? What's different? So Tosfos answers, usually the Mishnah tells us that reciting Yehalalucha depends on the minig hamokam. We assume the bracha was composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, but it was instituted as an optional bracha. If you want to say the bracha, you can say. If you don't want to say, you don't have to say. But on Pesach night, they instituted the bracha as a chayva. You're obligated to say. It doesn't depend on minig hamokam. Even if minig all year long is that you don't recite Yehalalucha at the conclusion of the halal, but on Pesach night at the Seder, you have to say Yehalalucha. The other opinion in the Gemara is no, it's not Yehalalucha, but it's rather Nishmas Kol Chai and Yishtabach. So the Gemara says they're both very nice ideas, and therefore Hilchach Demin LeTravayu, we should say both. What exactly does that mean that you say both? So the Rashbam learns literally, you say both. You finish the halal, then you say Halalucha, and you say Melech Mehulalba Tishbachot, and then you say the 26 Psukim Kili Olam Chazdei, then you say Nishmas Kol Chai and say Yishtabach, and you end off with the Chasima of Yishtabach. And you have old Haggadahs that were printed years ago, centuries ago, that follow this opinion of the Rashbam, that you have two brachas and the fourth cup of wine. We don't follow that opinion. You should be careful. You may have such a Haggadah at home. We used to send out these Haggadahs in the mail. Hospitals and yeshivas used to send out. So we have a whole bunch of Haggadahs that have this old nusach like the Rashbam. We pass, and you can't say two brachas over the fourth cup of wine. So what does it mean, Hilchach Demin Ogdala? How do you arrange to say both Yehalalucha and Yishtabach and only say one bracha? So in Shulchan Aruch they quote that there are two nuschos, that's Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfarad. And every family should make up whether they, if you're Hasidim, or if you're Sfaradim, so you say Nusach Sfarad. And if you're not Hasidim, and you're Ashkenazim and not Sfaradim, and you're not Hasidim, you're Misnagdim, then you say Nusach Ashkenaz. So Nusach Ashkenaz goes straight. And Nusach Sfarad goes back and backwards and forwards. Nusach Ashkenaz goes straight like this. You say the end of the Hallel, the second half of the Hallel after the Birchas Hamazon. Then you say Yehalalucha up until the last line, but you don't say Melech Mehulal Batish Bochos. You don't say the last line with the Brach. Then you say the 26 Psukim Kili Olam Chaz. Then you say Nishmas Kol Chai. Then you say Yishtabach. And you say the Chasimus HaBrach at the end of Yishtabach. That's Nusach Ashkenaz. And Nusach Sfarad, you do like this. You say the whole Hallel till the end. Hodol Hashem Kitav Kivi Olam Chazda. You say twice, and then you say the Halalucha. You don't say it right away, and you say the 26 Psukim Kivi Olam Chazda. Then you say Nishmas Kol Chai Yishtabach up until and not including the last line. You don't say the Chasima of the Yishtabach, but then you say the Halalucha that you left out before. So the Chokhenkev writes that every family should make up their mind in advance whether they're going to say Nusach Ashkenaz or Nusach Sfarad. It's not proper that you should have people around one table. Half of them are going to say Nusach Ashkenaz, half of them are going to say Nusach Sfarad. That's an issue of Loises Goyderum. Asasla Agudas Agudas. That's not right. We have around 25 Haggadahs at home. Half of them have Nusach Ashkenaz, half of them have Nusach Sfarad. So you have to check when you're about to finish the second half of the Hallel. You have to check to make sure that everybody has the same nusach of the Haggadah. They shouldn't make a mistake. When we recite Hallel and Shul, so the Chazan says on Hashem Hashiana, and everybody answers on Hashem Hashiana, on Hashem Hatzlichana, everybody answers on Hashem Hatzlichana, and the Chazan says on Hashem Kitay Kidi Yom Chaz, everybody says on Hashem Kidi Yom Yisrael, everybody says on Hashem Kitay. So in the Shulchan Aruch and the Mechaber quotes from the Rosh that on Pesach night by the Seder, if you have three people or more, even if two are men and one is a woman, even if you don't have three men, if you have three people or more, then you should make up your mind. One of them will be like the Chazan, And he should say, on Hashem Hashiana. And the other two should answer, on Hashem Hashiana, like you do in Shul. So some have a taina, why is it enough three people? Why don't you need ten people? Maybe it's a Dovish Bidushim. It's Akasha, but that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, and they quote this from the Rosh. So that's the proper practice. You should pick one person who's going to be like the mezamen, like when you bench mezumen. So one calls upon the others to answer the benching. So the same over here. One should be the mezamen to say, on Hashem Hashiyana. The second night of Pesach, we start counting Sfiras Oimer. So the meaning by the Misnagdim is that you count Sfiras on the Eftemayra before you have the Seder. You're not allowed to eat before you count Sfiras Oimer. If you look in the Rishonim on the bottom of the page in the Rif, the very last page in the Rif in Pesachim has all the dinim of Sfiras Oimer. So the Ravid and the Balamor, they talk about this issue in Halacha, and in Kabbalah Swarm and Kabbalah talk about this, that it's a bit of a tarte de sasri. You count Sfira the second night, that's Mimochas HaShabbos. And then you're going to say Halal. What do you mean? It's already Mimochas HaShabbos. What are you saying Halal in the Seder? So that's why Mekubalim came up with this idea, and some of the Rishonim came up with the idea that you shouldn't really count Sfira till after the Seder. What are you going to accomplish? But you're going to say Halal tomorrow morning in Shul anyway. So you're not going to solve the problem. So they give a difference. The halal on Pesach night, the halal in the morning are two different kinds of halal. One is halal b'shas hanes, kol davador chai varam nirasatz mekidu hu yotzim in Mitzrayim. So halal on the night of the Seder is like a halal b'shas hanes. And the halal in the morning is halal of simchas yontif, it's a different kind of halal. So you have to ascertain what your family practices. My wife's father was a Hasidish, so she counts Sfira after the second Seder. And my father was also a Hasidish in Europe, but he learned in Yeshiva College when he came to America, so he was converted. He learned Baruch Moshe Soloveitchik, so he converted everybody to become a Misnagdim. So my father counted Sfira before the Seder. So each family has to ascertain what their minig is, what their practice is. Tosis in Menachos in the Sugya of Sfiras Oimer quotes from the Halachas Gedolos, which was a Sefer Psak Halacha that was written in the days of the Gaonim, before the days of the Bali and Tosis. Tosis quotes from the Halachas Gedolos that if one forgot one day of Sfira, the mitzvah is lost, you can't continue to count because you lack Tmimai. So Tosis disagrees with the Halachas Gedolos. There is no such Gemara. The Gemara says Tmimai means a different thing. Mimus requires of us that we should count Sfira by Laila as opposed to by Yom. So the Sfira should include both Yom and Laila. If you're only going to count in the daytime, so the Sfira Shem is only Chal on the daytime part of the day. It does include the night before. The Gemara never says that Tmimus requires that you shouldn't miss a day. So Tosis disagrees with the Halachas Gedolos, but out of respect, even though we don't hold like him, we respect his sheet that he lived in the days of the Gaonim. So out of respect to his shita, if we missed one day, say you don't say a bracha. The Bahag also came up, the Allah Zadol came up with a chiddush that the women are mechuyev in Mikra Megillah, but not on the same level as the men. So therefore, a woman cannot read the Megillah to be moitzi a man. So some rabbis are so interested in making the women happy, so they have the dafka, they have a woman read the Megillah and shul to be moitzi the men. So we don't allow that, even though we don't really hold like the Bahag. But out of respect for the Bahag, we don't go against the Shita. Even if we disagree with a certain Shita, we have to show respect for that Shita. Before Purim, we were discussing, the Gemara has a machlokes Rav and his student Ravasi. Rav held that Mikra Megillah on Purim, you don't need a minyan. But because his student held that you do need a minyan, and there was validity to the argument, we don't paskel like the student. So Rav was choshish for his student's opinion. So he always thought to it that he heard the Megillah with a minyan on Purim. It was choshish for his student's opinion. So we should have respect for the Bahag's opinions, even though we don't pass them like them. We have to have respect. On Yontif, on Shabbos, there's a din, you have to wear different clothing. You're not allowed to wear the same clothing that you wear in the middle of the week, special Big Day Shabbos. And the Yerushalmi quoted in Shulchan Aruch says that Big Day Yontif have to be fancier than Big Day Shabbos. Why is that so? But the Mishnah Berurah says because on Yom Tov there's a mitzvah of simcha. That's why you have to have fancier. Soloveitchik used to give a different explanation. He didn't say because of simcha. He said that on Shabbos we greet the Shechina comes to spend Shabbos with us. When we say Boy B'Shalom, everybody stands up out of respect for the Shechina. Not only the Shabbos is entering, Shabbos is coming in, but the Shechina is also coming in. But on Yom Tov, it's more than that. We on Shabbos Shagon, we go to visit the Shechina in the Beis Hamikdash, where Oel HaRegel. So when you visit the king in the king's palace, you have to dress up fancier than if you would be receiving the king as a guest in your home. If the king is coming to visit by you, you have to dress nicely. But if you're going to visit in the royal palace, you have to dress up even fancier. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that's the reason why Big Day Yom Tov have to be fancier than Big Day Shabbos. Rav Soloveitchik on Yom Tov, he would wear a top hat, a cylinder, and he was very good looking. He was very tall and very good looking, and he used to wear a Prince Albert tails. On Shabbos he wore a regular suit. Nice suit. But on Yom Tov he wore even fancier. That was his Big Day Yom Tov. Chol HaMoed, it's not proper. A lot of the people walk around Chol HaMoed like a regular weekday. That's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, HaMevazeh HaMoed, HaSein L'Chelek Olam Habo. On Chol HaMoed, you have to dress up nicely. But like Yom Tov, you have to dress up Yom Tov. Tefillin Chol HaMoed is a big machlokes in the Rishonim. There are three different opinions. By the Yekes, they put on tefillin with a bracha. By the Chassidim, they don't put on tefillin at all. And they don't go on also in Valojin. Nobody put on tefillin in Valojin. So, Rabbi Kivega had a son-in-law. Rabbi Kivega was a misnagid. And he had a son-in-law who was a Chassidish. Rabbi Shmuel Birnbaum was his son-in-law. So when the son-in-law visited by the father-in-law for Pesach, he says it was the first time in his life that he ever put on tefillin on the Chol HaMoed. He was so surprised. He said his father-in-law was nice about it. He didn't make him say a bracha, because the Baal HaBatim and the Shul won't see whether he's saying a bracha or not. But they're going to see if he's not wearing tefillin. So he had to wear tefillin, because he was by the Yekes. But he didn't say a bracha. But there are two practices. By the Yekes, they put on tefillin with a bracha. They just have to practice at the chazan. If you go to Breuer's over here, so every morning the chazan davens out loud before Baruch Shama. So he puts on the talus, he says the bracha and the talus out loud. And he says the bracha on the tefillin shal yad out loud and tefillin shal rosh, everything out loud. And on Chol HaMoed he says the bracha softly. That's what it says in the Ramah. But that's what the Yekes do. On Chol HaMoed he says the bracha on the talus out loud, but the bracha on the tefillin it says softly. And the Taz there argues, why are you only worried that the one who listens to the chazan say the bracha is going to be answering amen to a bracha levatala? Why are you not worried about the bracha levatala? If you hold that it's a sake of the dina, whether you're obligated to put tefillin on, so you should really put on tefillin without a bracha. So most people who put on tefillin on a Chol HaMoed put on without a bracha. Only the Yekes put on tefillin with a bracha. And the Hasidim, or the Talmidim of the Gro, those who follow the Gro, they don't put on tefillin at all. When do you take off the tefillin? So Shulchan Aruch says on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, you take off the tefillin before Hallel. Because if you leave the tefillin on, it'll be a chatzitza between, you have to hold the lulav in the right hand and the esrog in the left hand. So whichever hand you're going to have the tefillin on, so the ritzuas will be a chatzitza in between your hand and the dalad minim. So because of the chatzitza issue, so you should take off the tefillin before halal. After shachar is before halal. The implication is on Chol HaMoed Pesach, you can leave on the tefillin until Musaf, just like on Rosh Chodesh. And why do you have to take off the tefillin before you daven Musaf? So that the Beis Yosef says, that's if you're davening Nusach Sfard, and they're going to say Keser and Kedusha for Musaf, so it's not proper. I don't understand what it's all about. Some Kabbalistic idea that you should recite Keser, Yitna Lucha, and I'm wearing tefillin, so that's not proper. If you're davening Nusach Ashkenaz, you're not going to say Keser anyway. So the Kepeda is not so strong. But the meaning is that on Rosh Chodesh, even by Ashkenazim, where they don't say Keser, you take off the tefillin before you start Musaf. So the Pashto says, on Chol HaMoed Pesach, leave on the tefillin like Rosh Chodesh until you're about to daven Musaf. And others have the practice, others have the minhag, like the Derech HaChaim Siddur, right? The Nesivos wrote the Siddur Derech HaChaim. So he writes that the difference between the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach and the last day's Chol HaMoed Pesach. First day Chol HaMoed Pesach, the Kriyas HaTorah is Kadesh. So you're talking about tefillin. So then the practice is, in a lot of shuls, you leave the tefillin on until after Kriyas HaTorah, then you take it off after Kriyas HaTorah. And the last 3 days of Chol HaMoed Pesach, you take off the tefillin before Halo. Divya Minhagim. Okay, everyone should be blessed with a healthy and a kosher Pesach, a kosher Sameach. Everyone should continue to be healthy.